Hey everyone, welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. We've got some stories today that I think are going to make you think differently about cybersecurity, and I'm really excited to dive in with all of you.
Yeah, always. Always lots to talk about these days.
So much going on. Okay, let's jump right in with our first story. Krispy Kreme, the beloved donut chain, has experienced a cyber attack.
You know, it seems like those glazed donuts weren't the only thing hackers were hungry for. This actually highlights a really important point. You know, cyber criminals are after data, and any company that handles sensitive information, even a donut shop, is a potential target.
Yeah, that's right. Even if a company might not seem like an obvious target, at first glance, they could still be vulnerable. And that's kind of unsettling to think about.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of data are we talking about here? You know, was it just payment card information, or is there more to it?
Yeah, so that seems to be the focus, you know, based on Krispy Kreme's statement, which is particularly sensitive information because it can be used directly for financial fraud. While they've confirmed that payment card data was compromised, you know, we don't know the full extent of the breach yet. It's possible other types of data were accessed, like you said, customer names, addresses, email addresses, or even loyalty program details.
It's just crazy to think that something as simple as ordering a donut online could lead to your personal information being stolen. What can companies like Krispy Kreme do to protect themselves from these kinds of attacks?
Well, first and foremost, they need to implement, you know, robust security measures to safeguard their systems and data. And this includes things like strong passwords, multi-factor authentication firewalls, intrusion detection systems, and regular security audits.
So basically a whole arsenal of digital defenses.
Exactly. But it's not just about technology, right?
Yeah.
Companies also need to educate their employees about cybersecurity best practices. Human error is still one of the biggest vulnerabilities. So training employees to recognize phishing scams, avoid suspicious links, and follow proper security protocols is essential.
Right. So it's a combination of strong technology and smart people working together to keep everything secure.
Precisely. And one more thing that companies should consider is cyber insurance. It can help mitigate the financial impact of a breach and provide resources for incident response and recovery.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like having a safety net in case things go wrong. So it sounds like Krispy Kreme might have a long road ahead of them as they investigate this breach and work to rebuild trust with their customers.
That's true. Data breaches can have long-lasting consequences for companies, you know, impacting their reputation, customer loyalty, and ultimately their bottom line.
It's a sobering reminder that cybersecurity is something we all need to take seriously, you know, both as individuals and as organizations.
Absolutely. Cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility.
Well, let's shift gears now and talk about a story that's a little bit less about donuts and a bit more about the dark underbelly of the internet. I guess you could say law enforcement agencies have recently taken down a number of DDoS for hire platforms in an operation they're calling Operation Power Off.
Yeah, these platforms are essentially online marketplaces where anyone can pay to launch a DDoS attack against a target of their choosing. Yeah. It's, you know, cybercrime as a service, making it incredibly easy for individuals with little to no technical expertise to launch very disruptive attacks.
So you don't need to be a hacker mastermind to launch a crippling cyber attack these days.
Right.
That's a little scary. But what exactly is a DDoS attack and why are they so effective?
So imagine a website or online service as a shop with a limited number of doors for customers to enter. A DDoS attack is like flooding that shop with a massive crowd all trying to enter at the same time. The sheer volume of traffic overwhelms the system, making it impossible for legitimate users to access the website or service.
Oh, so it's basically a digital denial of service attack. You're denying legitimate users access to the service by flooding it with bogus traffic.
Exactly. And these attacks can be incredibly disruptive, causing websites to crash, online services to go offline, and businesses to lose revenue. In some cases, they can even impact critical infrastructure like hospitals or power grids.
Wow, that's incredibly dangerous. So yeah. Taking down these DDoS for hire platforms is definitely a good thing, right? It's one less tool in the hands of cyber criminals.
It is. You know, it's a win in the short term, but it's important to remember that cyber criminals are incredibly adaptable. They're constantly finding new ways to exploit vulnerabilities and launch attacks. Mm. Taking down one platform might disrupt their operations for a while, but they'll likely just move to another platform or develop new methods. It's like a game of whack-a-mole.
So it's a constant battle to stay ahead of the bad guys.
Yeah.
Is there anything more that can be done to address this issue in the long term?
Yeah, I think the key is to focus on addressing the root causes of demand for DDoS attacks. This involves educating individuals and organizations about the risks and consequences of engaging in these activities, as well as developing more effective legal and regulatory frameworks to deter cybercrime.
So it's a multifaceted approach that involves law enforcement, technology, and education all working together.
Absolutely. Cybersecurity is a complex issue that requires a holistic approach to address it effectively.
Well, that's definitely food for thought.
Yeah.
But before we move on to our final story, I want to take a moment to appreciate the work of law enforcement agencies in taking down these DDoS for hire platforms. You know, they're working tirelessly behind the scenes to keep us safe online, and we often take their efforts for granted.
Yeah, I completely agree. They're playing a crucial role in fighting cybercrime, and we should all recognize and appreciate their dedication.
Okay, let's shift gears now to our final story, which is a bit more conceptual, but equally important.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about machine identities.
Ugh, machine identities. The silent workforce of the digital world. They're everywhere, but often overlooked when it comes to security.
I'm going to need a little help here. What exactly is a machine identity, and why should we be worried about them?
So think of all the devices, applications, and systems that are connected to the internet. Smartphones, laptops, servers, cloud services, even things like smart refrigerators and thermostats. Each of these devices or applications needs a way to identify itself and communicate with other devices or systems. That's where machine identities come in. They're essentially digital credentials that allow machines to authenticate themselves and access resources on a network.
So it's like a digital passport for machines.
Exactly. And just like human identities, machine identities can be compromised, leading to security breaches and data leaks. The problem is that many organizations don't manage their machine identities, effectively leaving them vulnerable to attack.
So it's not just about protecting human users anymore. We also need to think about the security of these digital entities that are kind of working behind the scenes.
Precisely. In fact, the number of machine identities is growing exponentially, far outpacing the number of human users. And as we become more reliant on interconnected systems and automation, the security of machine identities will only become more critical.
So it's a growing threat that we need to take seriously. But what can companies do to protect their machine identities? It all sounds pretty overwhelming.
It doesn't have to be. There are concrete steps companies can take to improve their machine identity security. First and foremost, they need to gain visibility into all their machine identities. This means identifying all the devices, applications, and systems that are using machine identities, as well as understanding how those identities are being managed and used.
So it's about getting a clear inventory of all those digital passports, so to speak.
Exactly. Once they have visibility, companies can start to implement security controls to protect their machine identities. This includes things like strong authentication mechanisms, access controls, and regular security audits.
So it's about applying the same security principles that we use for human users to machine identities as well.
Precisely. And another important step is to implement automation wherever possible. Automating processes like identity provisioning and deprovisioning certificate management and security monitoring can help reduce human error and improve efficiency.
So it's about making those digital passports more secure and easier to manage.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, I think that's a good place to stop for now.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground in this first segment, from donut breaches to DDoS attacks to machine identities.
It's been a whirlwind tour of the cybersecurity landscape.
But we're not done yet. We'll be back in the next segment to dive even deeper into these stories and explore some additional cybersecurity trends and challenges. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. I'm still reeling from those machine identities. It's like a whole secret world operating behind our screens.
It truly is. And as we discuss, securing them is absolutely vital. But while we're on the topic of digital security, let's zoom in on something that affects every single one of us: online privacy.
You know, it's something we take for granted until it's gone. And it feels like the lines are getting blurrier every day. What's on your radar in the privacy sphere?
Well, the rise of biometric authentication is both exciting and concerning. It's being hailed as the future of security, replacing clunky passwords with unique biological identifiers. Think unlocking your phone with a glance or verifying your identity with a fingerprint scan.
Okay, so it's convenient for sure, but is it actually more secure? Yeah. And what about the privacy implications of handing over our biometric data?
Those are the key questions, and there are no easy answers. On the security front, biometrics are undeniably harder to crack than traditional passwords. It's far more difficult to steal someone's face or replicate their fingerprint than it is to guess a password or steal it through phishing.
That makes sense. But like you said earlier, even Krispy Kreme, with all their security measures, still got breached. So what happens if a database of biometric data gets compromised? You can change your password, but you can't change your face.
That's the chilling reality. A biometric data breach is not just an inconvenience, it's a potentially lifelong risk. This data is inherently sensitive and immutable, and once it's out there for good. And we've already seen instances where biometric data has been stolen and misused.
That's concerning. So it sounds like there's a trade-off between security and privacy when it comes to biometrics.
Exactly. It's a complex equation, and it raises important questions about how this data is collected, stored, and used. Who has access to it? How is it protected? What are the legal and ethical implications? These are things we need to be thinking about as biometric technology becomes more prevalent.
So it's not a simple good or bad situation.
Yeah.
There are nuances to consider, and we need to be informed about the potential risks before we jump on the biometric bandwagon.
Yeah.
What questions should we be asking before we opt into a system that uses our biometrics?
That's the right mindset. Don't just blindly trust a system because it seems cool or convenient. Ask about the security measures in place. Is the data encrypted? Where is it stored? Who has access to it? And what are the company's policies regarding data retention and sharing? You have a right to know what's happening with your biometric data.
Those are good points. I'm starting to see how this ties back to our earlier conversations about Krispy Kreme and machine identities. It's all about data, protecting it, managing it responsibly, and being aware of the risks involved.
You're absolutely right. Whether it's customer data at a donut shop or our own biometric information, data security and privacy are paramount.
Okay, so we've talked about donuts, DDoS, attacks, machine identities, and the ethical considerations of biometrics. Is there anything else lurking in the depths of cyberspace that we should be aware of?
Let's talk about something that's rapidly changing the game in cybersecurity, both for better and for worse. Artificial intelligence or AI?
You know, AI is everywhere these days. I feel like I can't escape it. But what role is it playing in cybersecurity specifically?
It's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, AI is being used to enhance security measures and fight cybercrime more effectively. Think of it as a super-powered security guard that never sleeps, constantly analyzing data for suspicious activity, detecting patterns that humans might miss, and responding to threats in real time.
So that's the good AI. But you mentioned a darker side too, right?
Unfortunately, yes. The same AI capabilities that can be used to defend against cyber attacks can also be weaponized by malicious actors. Hackers are using AI to develop more sophisticated malware automated attacks and even create convincing deepfakes for social engineering scams.
So it's a bit of an AI arms race. The good guys are using it, the bad guys are using it, and the stakes are getting higher.
Precisely. And this raises a whole host of ethical considerations. Who's responsible when an AI system makes a decision that leads to a security breach or a harmful action? How do we ensure that AI is used ethically and responsibly in the realm of cybersecurity?
These are big questions, and it feels like we're just scratching the surface. It's mind-boggling to think about the potential implications of AI, both positive and negative.
It certainly is. And as AI continues to advance at an exponential rate, these ethical considerations will become even more pressing. We need to be having these conversations now before the technology outpaces our ability to control it.
It's a lot to digest, but it's important stuff. We need to be aware of the potential risks and benefits of AI so we can make informed decisions about its use. Okay, so we've covered quite a bit of ground again in this segment, privacy concerns with biometrics and the ethical dilemmas surrounding AI and cybersecurity. What's next on our deep dive agenda?
Let's bring it back to something we touched on earlier, those DDoS attacks and the efforts to combat them. But this time, let's zoom out and look at a bigger picture. The concept of zero trust.
Zero trust. It sounds pretty intense, like you don't trust anyone or anything. Is that what it's all about?
It's not about paranoia, but about being proactive and eliminating assumptions. Traditionally, cybersecurity focused on building a strong perimeter around a network, assuming that anyone inside the walls was trustworthy. But with the rise of remote work cloud computing and increasingly sophisticated cyber attacks, that model is no longer sufficient.
So the old castle and moat approach isn't cutting it anymore.
Exactly. Zero trust flips the script. It assumes that no user or device can be trusted by default, whether they're inside or outside the network. Everyone and everything needs to be verified all the time.
So it's like having a security checkpoint at every door inside the castle, not just at the main gate.
That's a great analogy. Zero trust is about verifying identities, enforcing least privilege access, and continuously monitoring for threats. It's about assuming that a breach is inevitable and having the mechanisms in place to contain it quickly.
That sounds like a much more robust approach, especially in today's threat landscape.
It is, and it's gaining traction with many organizations adopting or considering zero trust principles as part of their overall security posture.
Well, I'm sold. Zero trust for the win.
But wait, doesn't this tie back to what we were talking about with machine identities? If you're not trusting anything by default that includes all those devices and applications operating behind the scenes, right? You're sharp. That's exactly right. Zero trust isn't just about human users. It encompasses machine identity as well. Every device, application, and system needs to be authenticated and authorized before it can access resources on the network.
So zero trust is a comprehensive approach that addresses both human and machine identities.
Absolutely. It's about creating a security ecosystem where trust is earned, not assumed.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground, but it's clear that zero trust is a critical concept in modern cybersecurity. Any final thoughts before we move on?
Just to reiterate, zero trust isn't just about technology. It's a cultural shift that requires organizations to rethink their approach to security from the ground up.
That's a good point. Technology alone can't solve all our cybersecurity problems. It's about people, processes, and a mindset of continuous vigilance.
Well said. And speaking of vigilance, let's turn our attention to a threat that's been causing major headaches for organizations of all sizes. Ransomware attacks.
Ransomware. It sounds like something out of a Hollywood thriller, but unfortunately, it's all too real.
It is, and it's becoming increasingly prevalent. A ransomware attack is essentially a digital kidnapping. Hackers gain access to your systems, encrypt your data, and then demand a ransom for the decryption key. It's a lucrative business for cybercriminals, and the cost for victims can be staggering.
It sounds terrifying. What are the typical targets of these attacks? Is it just big corporations with deep pockets?
While large organizations are certainly attractive targets, ransomware attackers are increasingly going after smaller businesses, government agencies, healthcare providers, educational institutions, anyone they think might be willing to pay up to get their data back.
So no one is immune. That's unsettling.
Yeah.
What can organizations do to protect themselves from these attacks? Is it just a matter of paying the ransom and hoping for the best?
That's the tempting option when you're facing a crisis and your data is held hostage. But paying the ransom doesn't guarantee that you'll get your data back, and it only encourages the attackers funding their criminal operations.
So it's a risky gamble with potentially disastrous consequences. What's the alternative? How can organizations fight back against ransomware?
The best defense is a strong offense. It's about implementing proactive security measures to prevent attacks from happening in the first place. This includes things like multi-factor authentication, email, filtering vulnerability, patching regular data backups, and as we discussed earlier, adopting a zero trust security model.
So it's about layering those defenses, both technical and human, to make it as difficult as possible for those ransomware attackers to gain a foothold.
Exactly. And it's also crucial to have a robust incident response plan in place. What happens if, despite all your best efforts, you do get hit with a ransomware attack? Do you have backups of your data? Do you have a clear process for communicating with stakeholders and restoring your systems? Being prepared can make a huge difference in mitigating the damage.
That's good advice. It's better to be safe than sorry, especially when it comes to something as serious as ransomware. Okay, we've talked about the bad guys and the threats they pose. Let's end this segment on a positive note. What about the good guys? The cybersecurity professionals who are working tirelessly to keep us safe online.
They are the unsung heroes of the digital age, the guardians of our data and our digital infrastructure. They are the ones who are constantly monitoring for threats, patching vulnerabilities, responding to incidents, and working to stay one step ahead of the bad guys.
It sounds like a demanding job requiring a lot of technical expertise and a constant thirst for knowledge.
It is. The threat landscape is constantly evolving, so cybersecurity professionals need to be lifelong learners, always upskilling themselves to stay ahead of the curve. But it's also an incredibly rewarding field, knowing that you're making a real difference in protecting individuals, businesses, and even critical infrastructure from cyber attacks.
I have so much respect for these cybersecurity ninjas working behind the scenes. I bet it takes a certain personality type to thrive in this kind of environment. What would you say are the key qualities of a successful cybersecurity professional?
They need to be analytical thinkers, able to spot patterns and connect the dots. They need to be problem solvers, able to think creatively and come up with solutions to complex challenges. And they need to be passionate about cybersecurity, driven by a desire to make a positive impact in the world.
It sounds like a calling more than just a job.
In many ways it is, and thankfully it's a calling that's in high demand. The cybersecurity industry is facing a massive skill shortage, so there are plenty of opportunities for talented individuals who are looking to make a difference.
So if anyone out there is looking for a career that's intellectually stimulating, socially impactful, and with excellent job security, cybersecurity might be the perfect fit.
I couldn't agree more. We need more bright minds to join the fight against cybercrime.
Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. We're in the final stretch of our deep dive, and I'm still processing everything we've discussed, from those tasty yet vulnerable donuts to the ethical quandaries of AI. It feels like cybersecurity is about so much more than just technology.
It absolutely is. It's about understanding human behavior, anticipating criminal motives, and even grappling with philosophical questions about privacy, security, and the role of technology in society.
You know, it strikes me that a recurring theme in all of these stories is the importance of awareness. Whether it's companies understanding their vulnerabilities, individuals making smart choices online, or society as a whole debating the implications of new technologies, it all starts with awareness.
I couldn't agree more. Awareness is the foundation of a strong cybersecurity posture, both for individuals and organizations. It's about being informed, staying vigilant, and proactively taking steps to mitigate risks.
Okay, so let's put this awareness into practice. What are some concrete things our listeners can do to boost their own cybersecurity awareness and protect themselves online?
Well, first and foremost, be mindful of what you click on and download. Phishing emails, malicious links, infected attachments, they're all designed to trick you into giving away sensitive information or installing malware on your device.
So it's all about being a savvy digital detective, looking for clues and red flags before taking any action. Don't just blindly click on anything that lands in your inbox or pops up on your screen.
Exactly. Take a moment to scrutinize the sender's address, hover over links to see where they actually lead, and be wary of any unsolicited messages or attachments, even if they appear to come from a trusted source.
Those are great tips. What else should we be aware of?
Passwords are another crucial area. Use strong, unique passwords for each of your online accounts and enable multi-factor authentication whenever possible. It adds an extra layer of security by requiring you to confirm your identity through a secondary method, like a code sent to your phone or a fingerprint scan.
I know it can be a hassle juggling all those passwords and authentication codes, but it's a small price to pay for the peace of mind knowing your accounts are more secure.
Absolutely. And speaking of security, be cautious when using public Wi-Fi networks. They're often unsecured, making it easy for hackers to intercept your data. If you must use public Wi-Fi, use a virtual private network or VPN to encrypt your traffic and protect your privacy.
VPNs are like those secret tunnels for your data, right?
It's a good way to think about it. They create a secure connection between your device and the internet, making it much harder for snoopers to see what you're doing online.
Okay, so we've talked about phishing passwords and public Wi-Fi. Uh-huh. Any other cybersecurity wisdom you want to impart to our listeners?
Be mindful of what you share online. Social media can be a treasure trove of information for cybercriminals. So think twice before posting sensitive details like your home address, phone number, or travel plans. The more information you share publicly, the more vulnerable you become to social engineering attacks.
So it's all about finding that balance between being social and being secure. Don't overshare. Be mindful of your digital footprint. And remember that anything you post online can potentially be seen by anyone.
Exactly. And one final piece of advice. Keep your software and operating systems up to date. Those updates often include security patches that fix vulnerabilities that attackers could exploit. So don't ignore those pesky update reminders. They're there for a reason.
Great advice. It's like getting regular checkups for your digital health.
That's a good analogy. Just like we take care of our physical well-being, we need to prioritize our digital well-being as well.
Well, I feel like we've given our listeners a lot to think about today and hopefully some practical tools to enhance their cybersecurity awareness.
We've covered a lot of ground, but it's just a glimpse into the ever-evolving world of cybersecurity. The key takeaway is that it's an ongoing journey, not a destination. We need to stay informed, stay vigilant, and constantly adapt to the changing threat landscape.
And with that thought-provoking note, we'll wrap up this episode of Cyber Mornings Daily. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating and sometimes daunting world of cybersecurity.
Until next time, stay safe online.